Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Samach Dalet, where on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, says Igmar. Pasach Rabbi Lezer, Benoi Shal Rabbi Yisak Lili B'chvoid Achsani B'dorash. Now the Gemara earlier related a story that took place in the Kerem B'Yavne. This was the city of Yavne, which contained the yeshiva, which was called a Kerem, on account of it having been arranged like a vineyard. It was arranged in rows, which resembled the rows of a vineyard. And the Gemara related that there were a group of Chachamim there who began to darshan, to say drashas. Rabbi Yehuda spoke about Kavod HaTorah, others spoke about the Kavod Achsanya, the honor, they extolled the virtues and the praise for the Achsanya, the host who hosted the Talmid Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yisak Levi as well, began to darshan, to expound on the Kavod, on the honor, and the merit, the great tzchus of the Achsanya, of the host who hosted the Talmud Chacham in his home. V'darash, and he said as follows, V'yivorech Hashem es Oved Edoim b'avur Aron HaLakim. The pasuk tells us that Oved Edoim, he earned a great reward, he earned a great bracha as a result of him hosting the Aron HaLakim, the urn which contained the Luchais. Mashal explains this was actually the Shiver Luchais, the broken Luchais. So as a result of taking care of the urn, he received a bracha from Hashem. Says the Gemara, "Dvarim kavachomer." Can't we learn a kavachomer from there? Uma aron shaloi ochal v'shasa. If one took care of merely an aron, which was, it's an inanimate object that didn't eat, didn't drink, didn't require much care. Elo kibeid v'ribes lefanav. He merely had to sweep v'ribes to wash down the dust in front of the aron. So there was a minimal involvement here. Didn't preoccupy him too much. And as a result, kach, he received a bracha. Certainly, hamareach Talmud Chacham, the one who hosted Talmud Chacham in his home, umachiloi, umashkeyoi, he gives him to eat and drink, he tends to all his needs, umaneum nechasav, and benefits him from his possession, nachas kam v'kam, and certainly, he will earn a great reward as a result. Mahi bracha shebarchai. What exactly was the bracha that Oved Edoim received from Hashem? Mahi bracha shebarchai. Amar vidu bar zida. The bracha was zucha mois. This was the mother-in-law, meaning Oved's wife. V'ches kaloseh, and the eight daughters-in-law. She yoldu shisha shisha b'keresecha. They gave birth to six at a time. Shenemar pulasai hashmini. So this is the pasuk which lists his eight sons, and the eighth one was named pulsai. He was the shmini. Uksiv kibercha lekim. Hashem blessed him. Kol elu b'nei Oved Edoim. These were all the banim of Oved Edoim, Hemo, Bneim, Vacheim, Ishchael, men of strength, Bekoyach, La'avoda, to serve, Shishim, Ushnaim, Lo'Oved Edoim. So a total of 62. Now, if he had 8 sons, so we're left with 54 remaining. So the Gemara learns from here, apparently, the wife and 8 daughters-in-law all had 6 each, for a total of 54, plus the 8 sons, which equal the amount of 62. So we see that Oved Edoim received a great bracha as a result of him merely hosting the Aron. Certainly if one hosts a Talmud Chacham and tends to his needs, feeds him, takes care of him, certainly he would earn a great reward, a great bracha. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Avin HaLevi, Kol Adoichek is HaShah, one who pushes the Shah, pushes the hour. He has his sights set on being successful, attaining wealth and honor. And he persists and perseveres even when the going's tough. He is Doichek is HaShah. He pushes and expends an excessive amount of effort to achieve his goal. What is the result? The hour will push him away. He will suffer setbacks because sometimes it depends on the mazel. The right time hasn't yet come. But it's not meant to push the hour and insist on being successful. On the flip side, says the Gemara, nitcha b'nei Hashah, one who yields for the Shah, he waits patiently, he waits until the time is ripe to proceed. In that case, he will be successful. Shah nidches mipon of the hour. The present hour, which is unsuitable for his success, will yield for him, and the proper time will come when he will see hatzlochan, success in his endeavors. One is not meant to have his ego, but rather he's meant to wait until he sees what Hashem has in store for him. He's meant to see wait and see for the heavenly program and plan to unfold until all the pieces of the puzzle fall into place. Rashi cites an example as Avshalom, who attempted to acquire the Melucha prematurely, and he suffered setbacks, and he incurred a dismal ending. The Gemara relates the following story in this context, Midirav Rav Yosef. There was a story regarding Rabba and Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef Sinai, Rav Yosef was fully versed in Mishnahs and Brises. He had a vast knowledge of the material of Torah. He was considered to be Sinai. He had the fluency and clarity as the Torah was given by Har Sinai. The Rabba, he had a different approach to Torah. He had a different, slightly different nature. He was called Eker Harim, one who uproots mountains. He had a sharp, analytical approach to learning. So they had two different approaches. Rav Yosef was the storm of knowledge. Rabba had the sharpness and the analytical ability, which was something that Rav Yosef didn't specialize in. It's Shrichalu Shata. The Gemara says that they needed a Rosh Hashiva. They needed to appoint the head of the academy. So they had a choice of appointing either Rav Yosef or Rabba. And they needed advice. Shochel Hasim, they sent a message to Eretz Yisrael. Which one is more appropriate to be the Rosh Hashiva? Sinai v'Ikir Harim. We have a choice between Rav Yosef, who was Sinai, and Rava, who was the Ikir Harim. Eze mehem kodef. Which one is superior? Which one should take precedence? Which one should we appoint? Shalach luhu. So they sent back a message. Sinai kodem. Rav Yosef, who had the vast storehouse of knowledge, he is Sinai, and he comes first. Why? Shakol tzrichin lemar chitay. Everybody needs the master of the grain. First, you need to have the knowledge. And based on that, you could proceed to step number two, which is debating and analyzing and the sharpness. So the marachitaya, the master of grain, which is a euphemism here, because grain is like the staple food. Everybody needs a staple. That's number one. That's the precondition. Once you have that, then you could advance to the next level of analyzing and delving into the depth of Torah. So Sinai is more important. If you have a choice, one or the other, pick Sinai. Says in where Afal became, even though they decided to appoint Rav Yosef, like Kibbol of Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef didn't accept the position. Why? The Amrilei Kaldoi, because the stargazer told him, the Kaldoi, the stargazers, apparently the verse said he didn't ask them for their opinion, but they related to him their findings, and they told him, you know what the future holds in store for you? Malchus Tatishnin, you'll be the Melech, the leader, the Rosh HaYeshiva for 2 years, and then you'll die. So Rav Yosef was concerned. Apparently, this is not going to bode well for him, and he gave up the opportunity. Malach Rabba Esrim Tatishnin. So Rabba took over the position, and he was the head for 22 years. Malach Rav Yosef, after Rabba passed away, Rav Yosef took the helm and he became the Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years. Malach Rav Yosef Tartin Shnino Palga. So he was Rosh Hashiva 2.5 years. And we see here the same concept. He waited for the right opportunity. If he would have taken up the position immediately, he would only last for two years and then passed away. He waited until the time was ripe. He ended up gaining another 20 years of life because he waited until much later, until Rabba completed his rotation and completed his stint, and only then did he take up the position. So we see this concept that one is meant to wait patiently for the right moment, for the moment which is ripe for him, and is the predestined moment for his atzlacha. Says the Gemara, all those years that Rabba was the Rosh Hashiva, all those 22 years, Kol Hanach Shni, all those years, the Malach Rabba, that Rabba was the head, Afilu Umna Lebeisa Lekar, Rav Yosef, he conducted himself like an ordinary person, like a regular folk, and he did not even summon the Umna, the bloodletter, to his home. The custom was that the Umna would go to the Chashev person, Rosh Hashiva's home, to do the bloodletting. Rav Yosef insisted that he go to the Umna's home. He didn't want to conduct himself with any air of authority. And he conducted himself, he behaved like an ordinary person. And Afilu Umna, even the Umna, Lebeisa Lekar, he did not summon to his home. Says the Gemara, V'amar Rab Aben Halevi, Maidichsiv, Yancha Hashem B'yamtzar, Hashem will answer you in a day of distress, Yisagevcha, protect you, Hashem El Kayakev. Why do we refer to Hashem as Shem, the name of El Kayakev, of all the others, why Yaakov, says the Gemara, Elkei Yaakov, V'loi Elkei Avraham V'Yitzchak, why Yaakov and not Elkei Avraham and Yitzchak? Mikan, says the Gemara, we learn from here, Lebal Akur, the one who owns the beam, Sheikhanes B'Avishal Kair. When they transport the beam, so the owner of the beam is meant to take position under the heavy portion of the beam. He's meant to take primary responsibility for transporting the beam. He goes underneath the thicker and heavier part of the curve of the beam during its transportation. So too explains Rashi, Yaakov Avinu is the one who was tereach in the gidul, in the raising. He troubled himself and expended a great deal of effort in raising the Bnei Yisrael, the Shvatim. And therefore, it is suitable, it is fit that Yaakov Avinu will be the one that on his mercy, on account of his chus, of his merits, Klal Yisrael will achieve the protection of Hashem. He was the one who was terech in the gil of Klal Yisrael. He was the one who raised Klal Yisrael, raised the Shvatim. Says Rashi, he'll be mevakesh alein rachmi. He will ask Hashem, beg Hashem for mercy for Klal Yisrael. Therefore, in his chus, we will be protected. Continues the Gemara of Amar Rabban Alevi, kol anena mesuda shel talmud chacham shor b'seicha. One who derives benefit from a suda, where a talmud chacham is present. A talmud chacham takes part in the suda. Kilu nena mizivah shechina. There's such a great spiritual experience as if he's nena. From the ziv, from the ray of the bliss of Shechina, of divine presence, Shenemar, va'yoy Aaron v'chazikni Yisrael. This is regarding the suda that took place with Yisrael. It says that Aaron, all the elders of Yisrael, came lecha lechem to have their meal im choisin Moshe with the father-in-law of Moshe, Yisrael, lefnei alekim, in front of Hashem, in the presence of Hashem. It says, well, what does it mean lefnei alekim? V'chi lefnei alekim achle? Did they eat in front of Hashem? They ate in front of Moshe. Ella comes to teach us. Loimer lecha to teach us. Kol anene mesuda she talmud chacham ashar b'seicha. One who takes part in a suda, where a talmud chacham is present, takes part in that suda. Kiilu nene miziv hashchina. It's as though he was nene from ziv hashchina, and that's why the pasuk describes those who took part in this suda, which included Moshe Rabbeinu, included Aaron. This was a suda of such great spiritual level. It was as though it was a suda which included ziv hashchina. It's as if one benefit from ziv hashchina. The Rambam explains that although the Torah tells us we're meant to be davik to Hashem, to cleave to Hashem, how is one meant to be cleave to Hashem? One is a physical mortal being. Says the Rambam, one of the ways is to take part in the eating and drinking of a Talmud Chacham. Since the food and the drink of a Talmud Chacham attains the status of like Gemara says, like a Ziv HaShechina, one who takes part in the meal of a Talmud Chacham, he's connecting with the Ziv HaShechina, and that way he's davik to Hashem, he's cleaving to Hashem. Then we see the Sharm explains that the food that a Talmud Chacham, that a great tzaddik eats, is as though it's a carbon which is brought on the Mizbeach. Since the Talmud Chacham is of such high, elevated spiritual status, he's achieved such purity. So the food that he ingests is like a carbon that is elevated, that is served on the Mizbeach. And it is elevated and it goes up to Hashem like a carbon. So this is consistent with our Gemara, that one takes part in a Suda which features the Talmud Chacham. This experience is a very lofty spiritual experience. V'amar Rav Avin Halevi, hanifta mechaver, one who takes leave of his friend, al yomer lo lech b'shalom. You shouldn't tell him, go in peace. Which implies that he's perhaps finished his spiritual quest and he accomplished his mission in this world. He already has come to peace. Ella, rather, he's meant to say, lech b'shalom, go in peace. You're meant to continue your pursuit of spiritual perfection until you achieve peace. We find that Yisrael told Moshe when he left Midian, when he went to Mitzrayim, he said, go l'shalom, go to peace. What happened? As a result, Allah v'etzliach, Moshe ascended to greatness. He was matzliach, he was successful, became the leader of Klal Yisrael. However, David Amaloy Lav Shalom Leich Bisholim, so he used the term Bisholim, Halach Venitli went and he was hung. So he had a dismal ending. So we see that Bisholim is not the proper term to be applied to one who was living. On the other hand, says the Gemara, but Amar Abba Levi, Nifter Min Hameis, one who takes part from a deceased, Al Yomaloy Leich Lisholim. In that case, you should not use the term Leich Lisholim, which implies that he still has work to do. El Aleich Bisholim, go in peace. You've already achieved your objective. You've achieved your shleimus, your sholim. Shenamar v'ata toivah yelo besechel sholim. Hashem is telling Abram, you will come to your forefather Bisholim in peace. You've already achieved your sholim and your shleimus. Amar Rab Levi, Brachia. One who completes davening in the shul in the Beis HaKnesses and then immediately proceeds to the Beis HaKnesses and immerses himself in Torah study, he merits to be makabel, to receive the Pnei Shechina, divine presence. One who goes mechayel, this is a multitude of group, people in the Beis Medrash, Beis HaKnesses, who were davening, so he goes from that group of the Beis HaKnesses over to the next group, Meichayil El Chayil, to the group in the Beis HaMedrash, Yeruah L'Kim V'Tzion, he will go and merit to see Hashem in Tzion, to be Mekabel Pnei Shechina. So first one is meant to daven, and then proceed to the level of Beis HaMedrash, learning Torah, that is the true Shleimus, the one-two-step approach to Shleimus, which achieves a person a high level, high degree of purity, and he's zeichat mekabel pnei shechina. The Chafetz Chaim points out that a person, yes, is meant to make that effort after davening to learn a bit, so that he accomplishes this accomplishment of going mechayil achayil and to be zeichat and mekabel pnei shechina. Omar Rabchir Barashi, Omar Rav, Talmid Chacham, Torah scholars, ein lam menucha, they never have any rest. Not in this world, not in the coming world. They'll go from Chayil al Chayil, Yerol Kimetzian, and Shia Semetzian. Rashi explains that even in Eil Haba, they go mi yeshiva li yeshiva, from medrash le medrash. They're always rising in their spiritual ascent. In this world, they had no rest. They were constantly toiling in Torah. When they go to the next world, they have no rest either. Even in the world to come, in Shamayim, there's a misifta derekiah, there's a yeshiva where the neshamis learn Torah and they rise to great heights in Torah study, in comprehending the word of Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem. They connect deeper and deeper and closer to Hashem. So they never actually have any rest. But this is a spiritual pursuit. This is not something which one needs to rest from. It's not a physical a burdening activity. Rather, it's a very pleasurable experience. It's mechayil achayil, from one bliss to the next, and until they grow to the greatest heights, Yiroh l'kim v'tzion. Says the Gemara, Amar Blazer and Chanina, Talmid Chachamim, Marbim Sholem Boilam. They increase Sholem in the world. They teach us how to conduct ourselves in this world according to the way of Torah. That brings peace in the world. It's not a conflict between the physical entity of this world and the spiritual realm of heaven. The Talmid Chacham, when they learn and teach Torah, they spread the Torah knowledge, which clarifies, which gives that direction for all those in this world of how to corral all the different aspects and elements of our day-to-day life, to channel it and to direct it in the Torah way, and to turn our lives into spiritual lives, to turn this world into a spiritual entity, and that is true shalom, true peace. This world does not conflict with the spiritual realms of the heavenly world. It is shalom, it is peace between all elements of creation. They also show us how to conduct ourselves and to avoid conflict and strife. They bring peace between man and woman, father and son, family, neighbors and friends. They show us how to avoid conflict, how to live in harmony and peace according to the spiritual dictates of the Torah. Marbim Sholem Boilem, they increase Sholem in the world. Shenamar v'chol banayich, limudi Hashem v'rav shloim banayich. Al turki banayich, rather than read banayich, your sons, ela boinayich. the Boinoich, the builders of the world, the ones that show us how to transform this physical world into a spiritual entity. They are the builders of the world, and they increase peace. V'rav shalem, Boinoich, the Boinoich, the Talmid Chacham, increase shalem in this world. Concludes the Masechta, shalem rav, alo yavis ha'secha. Great peace to those who love your Torah, ve'in lo ha'michshal. Do not experience any stumbling. Yishalem b'chedach, there should be peace inside your walls. Shalva b'amaseich, tranquility in your amaseich, in your palaces, in your homes. L'man achai v'reyoi, for the sake of my brothers and friends, adabar shalom b'chach, speak peace unto you. So this is referring to increasing shalom between a person and his fellow Jew. And by bringing shalom in between Jews, we will rise to the next step of Imam Beis Hashem Alekeinu Avakshat Tevlach. Through shalom, peace between Yidden, through the unity, through Aves Yisrael, and undoing the Sinas Chinam that brings about the Churban Beis Hamidosh. In fact, we are Zeichel Imam Beis Hashem Alekeinu Avakshat Tevlach. This will be a pursuit of Toiv, of the Binyan Beis Hamidosh. We will be Zeichel to experience the Beis Hamidosh, which only comes when Klal Yisrael is united. And finally, Hashem Oyiz Lama Yitain. Hashem Yivarach Samah B'Shalom, when Klal Yisrael is united in peace and harmony, we are Zeichah to the Beis HaMikdash and to Hashem's Brachas. Hashem Yivarach, Hashem gives us blessings and Brachas when we are united. Hashem Yivarach as Amay B'Shalom. He gives us the Bracha of peace, and also in the light of the discussion here, the explanation, the interpretation of this Pasuk is Hashem Oizlam Yitain. Hashem Yivarach, Hashem endows us with Bracha as Amay B'Shalom, when his nation is in a state of shalom, united in peace of and harmony. At that point, Hashem gives us the tremendous brachas that he would like to give us. The Mashal explains what is the significance of concluding Masechta Brachas with this pasuk, with this discussion of shalom. Says the Mashal, since a great deal of Masechta Brachas discusses the concept of brachas, of making blessings prior to eating, etc., it discusses the concept of davening, of praying to Hashem three times a day. Says Marsha, these are activities which increase the shalom, the peace between Yisrael and Hashem. The Mefarshim explains as follows. The concept of brachas and tefillos are meant to imbue us with a clarity that everything, even physical phenomena, even the material entities that are found in this world, the myriad of our day-to-day activities, eating, drinking, etc., is all sourced from Hashem. It has a spiritual source and is meant to be used exclusively to bring us back closer to Hashem. For instance, one makes a bracha before eating. What he's doing, he's recognizing the source is spiritual, and the activity of eating is meant to return him back to Hashem. Return the object of food back to its source, back to its spiritual source. So the bracha actually serves to spiritualize the experience. The tefillos that we say every day, and we present our physical, our needs to Hashem. By doing so, we recognize that everything is sourced from Hashem. And everything is meant to be used to further our pursuit in Torah mitzvahs, to make us more spiritual, to serve Hashem and get closer to Hashem. So tefillos and brachas serve to elevate this mundane physical world and all its activities that are contained within. So by elevating this world, this Olam Haza, this Gashmi's Olam Haza, and permeating it with ruchnius, with spirituality, it's no more a conflict between this world and the next. We are elevating it and uniting it and combining it with the spiritual realms. And certainly, they don't remain separate any longer. They actually combine and synthesize as one entity. Now they're one entity, and that is true shalom, true peace. They have bonded and fused together. That is true shalom. Hashem Yivarech es Amoy Bashalom. Hadron Lach Haroya Uslika Lach Maseches Brachos. Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.